All right, so it's deliverance from strongholds. And today is part 6, and next week is part 7, where we finish it. A stronghold is anything that has a stronghold over your life and is oppressing you. Amen? Anything that is oppressing you and has a stronghold, you can't get free from it, yeah, is what we call a stronghold which needs you to be delivered from. I'm just doing some summary. And there are two types of strongholds. There is a stronghold of the flesh. The stronghold of the flesh is just a function of the desires, the ungodly desires of your mind and your body. I've explained it before. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. When you receive Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and your Savior, the first work he does in your life is spiritual. The Bible says, he who is born of the flesh is flesh. And he who is born of the spirit is spirit. When you were born as a baby, you were born of the flesh. But when you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you were born again. Not in your flesh, but in your spirit. Hallelujah. It's a spiritual birth. Hallelujah. So although you are born again in your spirit, you still have to deal with your flesh. What is your flesh? Your flesh is your mind and your body. Yeah? And their desires. Some of them are good, some of them are not good. So the ungodly desires of the mind and body is what the Bible calls the flesh. And that can be a stronghold. A desire you have, which is perfectly legitimate because you're a human being, can become twisted and hold you bound. You with me? That is a stronghold of the flesh. Amen? A good example is food. There's nothing wrong with food. You should eat. In fact, if you don't eat, you will what? You will check out. But you cannot become so fixated on food that it becomes a stronghold. You're addicted to it. Okay, that's a simple example. But there's some other examples that within a right context, there's nothing wrong with them. Physical intimacy, there's nothing wrong with it. It just needs to be in the right context of marriage. Are you with me? Now, when a desire for physical intimacy goes wrong and it begins to be expressed outside of marriage, then it's a desire gone wrong. Are you with me? And it can become what? A stronghold. But it's still a stronghold of the flesh. Are you with me? But there are also strongholds of the spirit. And what we said about strongholds of the flesh is that what you need to do with strongholds of the flesh is you need to begin to exercise more control over your mind and your body. Some things you are struggling with is because you are not doing something with your mind. When you start renewing your mind with the word of God and you start getting busy serving God, some problems you have with the stronghold of the flesh will disappear naturally. You don't even need to fast and pray. Amen? When your mind gets full of the word, when you stay in fellowship and you get busy serving God, some things you are struggling with in the flesh will not bother you again because you will grow beyond them. Are you with me? Yeah? But there are also strongholds of the spirit. Strongholds of the spirit involves the activity of evil spirits. There are evil spirits in this world. And their job is try to enforce evil. Amen? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. That includes people. You know, sometimes people may come against you. But the solution is not to assault them. Are you with me? We're saying home fellowship on Friday. The solution is not to pray them to die by fire. Amen? Yes, they are coming against you, but there is a spirit behind what they are doing. There's a spirit of opposition. There's a spirit of rebellion. There's a spirit of confusion. There's a spirit of witchcraft. There's a spirit, of manipulation. Are you with me? It's not just them. It's what is behind them. The Bible says that we're not wrestling flesh and blood. We are wrestling powers in the heavenly places. And the Bible says we should put on the whole armor of God. But you know what you do with that armor? The Bible never told you that when you put on the armor, you should fight. I've never seen it in my Bible. Check your Bible. Ephesians does not say put on the whole armor of God so that you can fight the devil. No? It said put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand in the evil day. and having done all to stand. The purpose of the armor of God is so that you can stand. Amen. You are not to fight the devil. Jesus fought him and won him. Amen. Say, I am in Christ. And Christ is in me. If I'm in Christ, every victory that Christ won belongs to me. I just need to stand in it until it becomes my reality. Hello? In your power, you are not any match for the devil. Hallelujah. But in the devil's best power is not any match for God. God is not the adversary of Satan. They are not match. God doesn't wrestle Satan. Satan is a created being. When Satan rebelled against God, he just did like this. He just spoke and he fell like lightning. Down. Hallelujah. It's no match. The reason why Jesus had to fight the devil and defeat him, because Jesus became a man. Hallelujah. If Jesus stayed where he was in heaven, he doesn't need to fight the devil. He created him. Bible says that by him all things were created, whether visible or invisible. But when Jesus became a man, he took our place. That's why he came. He came to take our place. So that whatever victory he won, he wins it for us. Jesus did not defeat the devil for himself. Hallelujah. Jesus did not need to defeat the devil. He was already in heaven at the highest throne room of the universe. But when he became a man, then he needed to contend with the devil, just like we need to. And every victory that Jesus won over the devil, he did it for you. Hallelujah. Now, if it doesn't belong to you, then he wasted his time. So just say, every victory that Jesus won over the devil and evil spirits, he did it for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why God had to honor him. God had to honor Jesus because he became a man. If Jesus did not become a man, God did not need to honor him because he's already sharing that glory with God. Hallelujah. But he stepped down. The light stepped down into darkness. He became a man. I want you to understand today that Jesus became a man for you. Hallelujah. He became a man for you. Everything he did it for you. Every victory that Jesus won, he won it for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm in Christ. And Christ is in me. You need to keep that identity. You are never, never, never going to live in victory over the devil and evil spirits until you understand that you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are in Christ. Open your Bible to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. We are reading verse 12 to 14. Open there. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we are reading verse 12 to verse 14. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12 to 14. Okay, I'd like to have a reader. Anyone who has not spoken today yet? Colossians 1. Verse 12 to 14. Yes. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14.
Colossians 1, verse 12 to 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers.
He has made us. Listen to that. Christ Jesus qualified us. In your own goodness, you don't qualify. Hallelujah. Do all the best that you can. You don't what? Qualify. But Christ Jesus, because of his sacrifice, he has made us qualified to be partakers. Of what?
He has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance.
Hallelujah. Say, I'm a partaker. You know me of partake? You share in it. You eat of it. Hallelujah. You eat of it. You drink of it. You share in it. You use it. I'm a partaker. I'm part of it. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints. So say, oh, Saint Michael. By the way, you know, Michael, the angel, he's not a saint. He's an holy angel. Saint is a word used for human beings. Yeah? Hello?
Angels are not saints. It's humans. Hallelujah. Because angels are not redeemed by the blood of Jesus. It's humans. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not angels. It's human. We are the ones that were sinners. Hallelujah. And we're the ones that were bought by the blood of Jesus. And when the blood of Jesus comes in your life, you know what it does? It washes you from your sin. Now, when you are washed from your sin, what do you become? A saint. I'm a saint. Now, listen. Some people are waiting for them to die until they become saints. You won't need to be a saint then. Hallelujah. I'm washed. Say, I'm washed.
I'm washed.
By the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm a saint. You say, but do you mean, you know, you will never sin again? No, I didn't say so. I'm still in the flesh. I may sin. But 1 John 1:9 tells me that if I confess my sin, what will he do to me?
It's faithful and just.
He's faithful and just. To do what?
To forgive me.
Is that all?
And to cleanse me
from all
unrighteousness.
So when I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness, what do I become again?
Bobby.
Righteous. Hallelujah. I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. So why am I? Righteous. Now, I'm sharing this not just to excite you, because you can't overcome the devil until you understand that if you are in Christ, if you are in Christ, you are no longer a sinner. Hallelujah. I take questions. Where's my mic? Hallelujah.
I believe I'm in Christ.
Yes.
I believe in God, and I believe He's with me. But I pray for something for 2 years, and I'm not delivered yet from these things.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm wrong?
Okay.
Because
beautiful. I like that question. I'm not just a pastor; I'm a teacher. What I like most in my life is questions, because when you get questions, you learn. I don't like to just preach a sermon and everybody is looking, then finally they sleep. I like questions. Amen? I tell you one simple thing. I was saying this on Thursday at a meeting. You know when a baby is born? A human baby? Yeah? They have hands. Yeah? And legs. They are born complete. But they are not born mature. A baby is born what? Complete. I'm complete in Christ. But I'm not mature from day one. I need to grow. Hallelujah. How does a baby grow? How does a baby grow? Do you know how a baby grows? Tell me all the things that a baby needs to grow.
How the baby needs to
Yes.
grow?
Yes. If you want a baby to grow, what do you do to them?
Eating food.
Give them food. Yes. What else? Water.
Water, yeah.
You didn't even say milk. Yes, milk, food, water. What else? A baby
has a tongue, but it does not know how to talk. How will he learn to talk?
We teach him.
Sorry?
We teach them.
You teach them. You interact. Fellowship. You see, if you just stay on your own, read your Bible, it's not enough to grow. A baby who is left alone will not know how to talk well. Fellowship. What else? Exercise. Huh?
Yes.
Hallelujah. A baby is not going to function fully as an adult in one day. And if that baby prays forever, it will not change it. Some things we are praying for, we just need to give more time to grow. Hallelujah. I show you. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians, the first letter of Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Yes, I want someone else to read. I'll come back to you. Okay. We have unfinished business. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Read it. Please follow in your Bible.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, 11 verse. When I was a child.
When I was a child.
I spoke as a child.
I spoke as a child.
I understood as a child.
I understood as a child.
I thought as a child.
I talked as a child.
But when I became a man.
When I became an adult.
I put away childish
things. It was easy for me. Amen? To put away what? There are some things you are not doing anymore as an adult. Why? You've grown. You still see those things, but you lost the desire for them. It doesn't excite you anymore. You're not struggling with it anymore. You've grown. Hallelujah. Now, spiritual growth has nothing to do with age. In fact, it doesn't even have too much to do with experience. You can be experienced in church and not growing. Spiritual growth has to do with giving more attention to the Word of God, giving more attention to the Spirit of God, staying in the place of fellowship with other believers. Some growth will happen in your life because somebody else inspired you. Some growth will happen in your life because somebody else walked with you. They took your hand and walked with you. Say, follow it. Amen? There are some things you will never achieve alone. There are some victories you will never achieve alone. You need to see sometimes you need a mentor or a role model because you become inspired. I can do this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we grow, we put away what? Childish. There are some things that have struggled in my life. But as I grow, I put away. Some growth happens in your life because you started serving God the way He called you to do it. There are some service that God is telling you to do, you've not done it. That's why you are still struggling. Yeah, the Bible said the idle mind. No, not the Bible, people. It's not the Bible. But it's correct. That the idle mind is the devil's workshop. But I don't mean you are idle. I mean, I know you are busy. In fact, in this part of the world, people are very what? Very busy. But you are not busy with spiritual things. There are some things I struggle with when I decided to answer the call of God on my life and run this race of pastoring this church. They just disappeared. I found something better. Something greater. I lost the desire. Amen? I just lost it. I didn't have to fast and pray for it. I found something better. Something worth the sacrifice. Something worth what? Sacrifice. Sometimes, the things we struggle with is because we've not found something else that we are pursuing that is worth what? Sacrifice. There are some things I don't want to do anymore because I know it compromises the higher goal. I have a stronger desire. Amen? To achieve what God has called me to do. So when those things present, in the flesh, they're still appealing. But they don't attract me because I can see that they will compromise the big mission. Amen? So growth includes feeding, drinking, fellowship, and service. Hallelujah. If you are not giving Him more time to serve God, you will continue to struggle with some things. You will pray. But all God will tell you by His Spirit is, give me more time and attention and devotion. Amen? It's not everything to be solved by prayer. You know very well that no matter how much you pray, if you go to the shops and you buy your, what do you buy? Yeah? Your veggies. I'm looking for some veggies now. You like veggies. Broccoli and, sorry? That's just fast. What else? What else? What else? Cauliflower, yes. Veggie, come on, give us some veggies. Spinach, yes. Any other one? Carrots, no. Carrots, I'm looking for the ones you have to cook. And no matter how much you pray, God will not cook it for you. Have you found that? Hello? God, I'm so hungry now. Please, convert this food so I can eat it. He will say amen. Hallelujah. You have to cook it. Amen. But you can pray and say, God, teach me how to cook it. Amen. So it's not one of the things that happened to us. The question, I know exactly what you're saying. From personal experience. Hallelujah. It's not every prayer that God does for you. Some prayer, He will show you the way. Amen? Some prayer, He will lead you to someone. Some of the answers to your prayer is with somebody. Amen? Some answers to your prayer is in a place. Amen? Some answers to your prayer is in an instruction. Hallelujah. And when you can follow. That's why God called Christians sheep. You know sheep? You know why we are called sheep? Because sheep know how to what? Follow. Hallelujah. When you can follow, he will lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. Let me just move on. Thank you for that question. Maybe that was, you know, someone's breakthrough today. And I like to, you have to learn to be flexible. Please, let's finish that business. Colossians 1, 12 to 14. Read it again.
Colossians 1, 12 to 14. Giving thanks unto the Father.
Hallelujah.
Which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light.
God, the Father, through the Son Jesus, he qualified us. It's not what you did, it's Jesus. Jesus died. Jesus shed his blood. Jesus defeated the devil for you. Now, what you did was to believe and receive him. You know, there are people out there, they've heard about Jesus, but they didn't receive him. They still want to live their life independent. They don't want to submit their life to God. But when you make up your mind to submit your life to God, it's the greatest decision of your life. Your life has changed. That was the day it changed. When you allow Jesus into your heart, you're not the same person. Hallelujah. Now he has qualified us to partake in the inheritance of the saints. That's another proof that you're a saint. Hallelujah. Now I'm not saying for saints' sake, because if you don't carry that mentality, you can't face the devil. I'll show you in Revelations. I can show you that. I will show you. So he has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints. But we need to walk in the light. Amen. So now I'm a partaker. But if I don't walk in the light, I don't enjoy the benefit. Amen. A Christian can walk in darkness. A believer can walk in what? You know how you walk in darkness? It's simple. God tells you something. You say, okay, thank you. Then you go the other way. Amen. You still have free will. You can decide what you like. I know you're born again, but you can still decide what you like. You know the parable of the two sons? The parable of the two sons. Yeah? They were both sons. They were both partakers of the inheritance. Yeah? They were both partakers of what? The inheritance. But one walked away. He was no longer walking in the light. He went off and walked in darkness. And he suffered for it. Amen? A believer can walk in darkness and suffer the consequences of darkness. But I tell you, that's not the end of it. He was just a lost son. Amen? He was lost. But you know, let me tell you one of the keys to that parable. You need to understand it. Because when you understand this, you will defeat the devil. And this is where we stay today. One of the biggest titles of the devil, I'll show you in Revelation chapter 12, is that he is the accuser of what? I'll show you. Revelation 12. We'll go there when we finish with Colossians 1. 12. The key is that when he came to himself, and realized that I'm walking in darkness and I'm suffering unnecessarily, despite the fact that I'm a son in the house, he said, I'm going to arise and go back to my father. Hallelujah. That's the key. It's the major key that when you miss it as a believer, you need to understand that there is forgiveness. You can never earn it. Jesus paid for it. But you can be humble enough. Humble. It takes humility to go back and say, Father, I messed up. I missed it. Forgive me. What did the Bible say, Father, we do? Open to 1 John 1:9. Open there. 1 John 1:9. We are talking about deliverance from strongholds. I think a major key of deliverance is your ability to receive forgiveness. If you don't learn to receive forgiveness, the devil
will floor you. It will tell you that you are useless. And you will believe it. Huh? Yes. You've taken your what you needed today, God has given you. Yeah. God bless you, honey. We'll see you again. I'm sure we will. Yeah. Hallelujah. Open to 1 John 1:9. Yes. Let's read it together. Okay, let's give it to Sean. Yes, where's my mic now? Thank you. I'm coming back to you. 1 John 1:9. Yes, Sean. Read it. He's following your Bible.
But if we confess our sins to him.
Read verse 8.
If we claim we have no sin.
If we say we have no sin. He's talking to Christians. The letter of John was written to Christians. Not to unbelievers. Yeah? It was written to who?
Christians.
Believers. He's talking to believers. Go on. If we claim
we have no sin.
If we claim we have no sin.
We are only fooling ourselves.
We are only deceiving ourselves.
And not living in the truth.
And we are not living in, you are in what they call self-denial. You are in denial. Yes, but what? That's not the important thing. Verse 9.
But if we confess our sins
to him. If we confess our sins, what will he do? Will he chase us away?
He is faithful and just to forgive our sins.
He is faithful and just to forgive us. And to do what?
And to cleanse us from all wickedness.
From all unrighteousness. Let me explain this. Someone say, oh, pastor, does it mean that are you trying to say, I can just go off and do whatever I like, God will forgive me? Yes. I know that you're like, what? Let me tell you something. Every time you sin, you're at risk of consequences. You know? Someone put their hand in the fire. It will be burned. They can repent, but it was burned. Yeah? Are you listening to me? Sin pays its wages. What's the wages of sin? That don't mean only physical death or spiritual. It means darkness and oppression. Because over the direct consequence, the natural consequence, it's like you planted a seed. Where's the sister that planted the garden? You plant a seed, you're going to reap what? The harvest. Amen. So sin has its consequences. Now, if you've ever been in sin, you know. You know what you saw. Amen. So I'm not giving a license. Hallelujah. I'm not giving what? It's like somebody who went into debt. So I remember when some time ago, about 10 years ago or so, at the uni, I remember meeting a young guy, you know, obviously he was young. And he was showing me like 5 credit cards. That, you know, he has a lot of credit cards. And he felt so good. I was so powerful. Yeah? He was a student. But he had 5 credit cards. Oh, beautiful. Glory. You know, I have 5 credit cards. I can do whatever I want to do. Are you with me? But when you use those credit cards and you run into debt and you can't pay the debt and they start writing you letters upon letters. Huh? Then you understand that having 5 credit cards is not something to boast about. Are you with me? Sin pays its wages. And the wages of sin is what? There. But the debt there starts from spiritual darkness and spiritual oppression. So that is standard. But that's not my message today. Because my message is deliverance. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about oppression. I'm talking about what? Deliverance. A foundational step to deliverance is to know that you can go back to the Father and repent. And you can receive forgiveness and cleansing. And by that process, you can start mitigating the effects, yeah, of your wrongdoings. You don't need to stay there. Are you with me? There's healing. There's deliverance. There's transformation in Christ to the blood of Jesus. And when that son went back, he found deliverance. He found healing. He found restoration. Amen? What he did could not be undone, but his future was restored. Hallelujah. Your future can be what? Restored. Your future does not need to be determined
by your past. Because God is always doing new things. And what you need to do is, if you've been disobedient in the past, that's the past. What about today? Today is the day of salvation. That's how God thinks. That's how God reasons. Hallelujah. If I say, I'm the one that blots out your sin. I blot it. I don't remember. Because what? The past is the past. You can't go back. Amen? But you have the future. Hallelujah. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. The moment you decided that Jesus Christ should be your Lord and Savior, that was the day you became a saint. Hallelujah. So, I'm not a sinner seeking for forgiveness. I'm a saint keeping my garment white. Hallelujah. Sin is a stain on your garment. Hallelujah. But you know, if you have a white garment and you have stains, what do you do? Do you dive into the mud because it was stained? No. Do you stay in the mud? Someone pushed you into the mud. You had a white garment. Yeah? What are you going to do? Are you going to swim in that mud now like a pig because one part has been stained? No. What do? You run out and receive cleansing. Hallelujah. Still a saint. Glory to God. Now, a sinner too, they have a dark garment. A stained garment. No matter all their good works, they cannot wash their sins away. They need a Savior. They need Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away what? My sin. Hallelujah. He has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Hallelujah. That means everything, every victory that Jesus won over the devil, it belongs to me now. I just need to walk in the light of it. I walk in the light of it and I cooperate with God. He will take me to destination. Hallelujah. He will take me to what? Destination. A saint is a forgiving sinner. Hallelujah. He was a sinner. But he met the Savior. He was forgiven and cleansed by the precious blood of the Lamb. His identity changed from the inside out. He is now a child of God. He is now an heir of God. Romans 8. And a joint heir with what? With Christ. Hallelujah. That's the mentality you must carry to face the devil. Hallelujah. Your job is not to fight the devil. Your job is to stand in the victory of Jesus Christ by faith. You stand that ground and keep talking to them and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to live my life. In the name of Jesus, I command you to take your hands off me. The devil said, why should I take my hands off you? He said, because I belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. The devil is a tempter. And one of the major qualities of a tempter is that they attempt. Okay? You know, thieves. They're always attempting. Thieves, they take a chance. Are you getting me? So there's no guarantee that the devil will not try to take a chance in your life. But the Bible says, James 4:7, it says, submit yourself to God. Then you are ready to do what? To resist. You will resist him in the name of Jesus. You will stand firm, you stand your ground, you refuse to move it. You resist. You put on the whole armor. Stand your ground. Say, Satan, you have no place in my body. I will not die. I will what? I will live. He said, but why will you live? I have things to do for God. Imagine the devil is asking you. He said, I will not die. He said, why do you want to live? Because I have many parties I still want to go to. That's a bad reason. Hello? It's a bad reason. The devil will not listen to that. Have you ever dealt with dogs? Dogs do not listen to every instruction. Do you know that? They listen first and foremost to the instructions of their owners.
I went to Tesco to do some shopping about a week ago. I think it was Sunday night. Yeah, well, was it Saturday night? I think it was Sunday night. And there was this dog. From the face of the dog, I know it's one of those dogs. Dangerous. You know, those dogs that they already look dangerous. So it was in front of Tesco, and there was the owner there having a chat with the security man of the Tesco. No problem. I went in, did my shopping. As I was coming out of the shop, there was this dog now right in front of the door. So I waited. And then the owner of the dog, you know, spoke to me and said, "It won't hurt you." I said, "Well, I'm not the owner." Amen. It's easy for her to say that. Before I entered Tesco, I saw her struggling to tell the dog to stay still. They will listen to their owner, but you have no guarantee that they will listen to you. They know their owner. They don't know you. Are you with me? The devil will listen to you when he knows that you know who you are in Christ. Amen? Say, "Why do you want to leave?" Ah, they say, "I still want to enjoy many things." It's a bad reason. He said, "I will not die, but I will live to declare the good works of God." The purpose of living is to do the will of God. Amen? He said, "Why will not die?" He said, "Why?" He said, "I still have a lot of money to make. I want to make money." That's a bad reason. Amen? That's not the calling you have. Yes, you should make money, but you should use that money to serve God. Your life is meaningless if it's not going to be used to serve God. And I want to tell you, serving God is not just coming to church on Sunday. There are some talents, there are some gifts that God has put in your life. They are to be used to serve God. Even the money He brings to you, you take a good part of it. When I say a good part, I don't mean 100%. I don't mean 50%. I didn't even mean 30. But at least 10. And say, "Look, this goes to the kingdom. I'm in partnership with God." Hallelujah. That's living the life. That's what? Living the life. Amen. Let me round up in 5 minutes. I wanted to show you a key ministry of the devil and how to overcome him. I'm taking you to the last book of the Bible, Revelation 12. We'll finish there. Go to Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. From verse 7 to verse 11. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. Yes, where's the mic again? Revelation chapter 12. Where's my microphone now? Revelation 12. No? Yeah, thank you. Revelation 12, verse 7 to 11. Yes, someone was not read today. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. He's following your Bible. I want you to enjoy this. You know, that's why I told you, you should read the book of Revelation. There are many interesting things in Revelation. Amen? Revelation 12, 7 to 11. Read it.
7. And war broke out in heaven.
War broke out in heaven. Now, let me just explain that to you before you get confused. When the Bible says heavens, yeah? It's not all heaven that is the heaven of heavens. Amen? The skies is heaven. Space is heaven. And then the heaven of heavens is what? Heavens. That's why you see in your Bible, you may hear about the third heaven. Amen? There is the first heaven, which is our atmosphere, sky. Yeah? You see, the stars are in the heavens. Am I right? Yeah? So, you have your sky. And what you can see there, that's the first heaven. And there's the second heaven, which is space. That's a bit further on. Amen? You have, you know, the stars. the second heaven. And then finally you have the heaven of heaven. We know it's up because Jesus ascended into heaven. Amen? The war in the heavens there is not, Satan is not dwelling in the throne of God. I'm sure you know that. Yeah? The devil is called the prince of the power of the air. That's the second heaven. Amen? The war here is in where? The second. That's where you have the rulers of the darkness of this world. They try to dominate human lives. But there was war in heaven. Continue.
Michael and his angels.
Who was fighting? God? Was it God? Who?
Michael
and his angels. Amen? Michael and his angels. Continue. So those are angels. Fighting angels. Are you with me? It's just they are holy angels and they are fallen angels. Continue.
Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail.
That dragon is a title for the devil. Continue. Actually, we define it later. Go on.
Nor was the place found for them in heaven any longer.
Yes.
So the great dragon was cast down.
The great dragon.
That serpent of old
was cast down.
The devil.
That serpent. Listen, the dragon is the serpent. The dragon is who? Or the serpent is who? I mean, I'm thinking of some dinosaurs now. That look both like dragons and serpents. Hallelujah. We know he had wings. Bible says in Revelation 12. Bible says his tail drew one third of the stars of heaven. Those are angels, fallen angels. Continue. The dragon, which is that old serpent,
called the devil.
Called the devil.
And Satan.
And Satan.
Who deceives the whole world.
What is his first job there? He's a deceiver. He's what? A deceiver. That's the title of the devil. Continue. Another one.
He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Wow. Continue.
Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength, and the kingdom of God, and the power of his Christ have come.
Listen to that.
For the accuser...
Listen, wait, just wait. Yeah. The dragon, which is the serpent and devil, was cast down. Now there's a voice in heaven. That's the heaven of heavens. Amen? Saying, now salvation has come. How did salvation come? Continue verse 10.
Now salvation and strength,
yes,
and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come for the accuser of
our brethren, yes,
who accused them before our God day and night.
He accused them. How often?
Day and night.
Day and night, yes.
Has been cast down.
He has been cast down. I want you to understand that. Deliverance comes into your life when you know how to defeat the accuser of the brethren. You know how the devil accuses you before God day and night? He's not just at the throne, he's in your conscience. He tell you, you're not a sinner, you're a sinner. I say, yes, I know. So when you have accepted that you're a sinner, how can you command the devil to leave you? You're afraid of him. You've forgotten that you're in Christ. The reason why Christ won the victory was to help you, to get you delivered. Amen? Christ doesn't want you to be a slave of either sin or oppression, spiritual oppression. But you will not be delivered if you don't begin to understand that Jesus Christ actually came to set you free. So the devil tell you, he say you're no good. He say you too, you confess, I'm no good. He say you're not going anywhere. He say yes, I'm not going anywhere. You think you're being humble? You're not being humble. You're being defeated. Hallelujah. Verse 11. That's where we're going to.
And they overcame.
I want to teach you how. The part 6 of this sermon was how to overcome evil spirits. Part 2. There are many keys, but let's just stop there because we'll take this and we'll round up there for time's sake. How to overcome evil spirits. Let's see how they overcame this dragon, this serpent, called the devil and Satan, who is the accuser, who deceives the whole world, and who is the accuser of the brethren. How did they overcome him? Verse 11.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb.
Let's not stop there. I'm coming. 3 points I want to give from that verse 11, and then we finish. They overcame him by how?
The blood of the Lamb.
Now, How does the blood of the lamb help you to overcome the accuser of the brethren? Yeah, tell me somebody. I've explained all through this sermon. The blood of the lamb, how does it help you to overcome the accuser of the brethren? That's all I've been saying all day. Yes? Let me have one answer. The blood of the lamb, how does it help you to overcome the accuser of the brethren?
Cleanses you from all unrighteousness.
Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. That comes before 14, who now says, who has delivered us from the power. He could not deliver us from the power of darkness until we have received what? The forgiveness of sin. And how does that happen? Through the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blood is what changes your identity from sinner to what? To saint. Now, remember, I did not say that you're a saint. You never sin again. That's not the meaning of saint. Saint Peter, they all could get things wrong till they died. So long you're in this flesh, you can make mistakes. So long you are in the physical flesh, till you die, you can make mistakes. The day you cannot make any mistake, yeah, you are dead already. Are you with me? So it's not perfection that makes you a saint. What makes you a saint? Redemption. Hello, listen to that again. It's not your perfection that makes you a saint. What makes you a saint? Redemption. Through the blood. Now, that is the identity you need to carry to face the devil. So, you don't deserve healing. He said, well, yes. But I've confessed my sin. And he has what? He has forgiven me. And then even the healing, it was paid for by the blood of Jesus. So all I need to do is put my faith in it. Hallelujah. You are not going to be healed because you deserve it. You are going to be healed because you believed it. Hallelujah. You are not going to be delivered because you deserved it. You are going to be delivered because what? You believed it. And you received it by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. If I could just stay there forever, it would be nice. To understand that I'm blood bought. I'm blood bought by the blood of Jesus. I'm no longer under the dominion of darkness. When Satan comes against me, he's coming as a stranger to a place he doesn't belong. Hallelujah. He's an intruder. I am not under his dominion. I am in Christ. Amen. My confidence against Satan is not in my power. In my natural power, I'm no match. But I'm in Christ. I am what? Say, just say, I'm in Christ. I'm blood bought. Hallelujah. Second one. And what? They overcame me by the blood of the Lamb. Just one more. So the reason why the accuser of the brethren cannot dominate me is this. Before he came, I already went to the Father. And I confessed my sin. And he was faithful and just to forgive me. And to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean I delight. I don't delight in sin. If you are truly born again, you don't want to sin. You may sin, but you don't want to. If you still really want to sin, you are not born again. If you are truly born again, in your heart, you want to please God. If you are truly born again, your heart, even no one is watching you, you want to what? Because you have a new heart. Your heart has changed. Now you may be tempted. You may be drawn away. But you didn't want to. You see the difference? Don't want to. And when I miss it, I don't stay there. I don't know about you. I run back to the Father. I say, Father, I missed it. I messed up. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And then he forgives me because he's faithful and just. And he cleans my mind. So when the accuser of bringing shows up, I say, excuse me, sir. You are too late. I dealt with it already. Amen. I dealt with it what?
Already.
He said, oh, but I want to give you a present. Some sickness so that you know that, you know, that's so that it reminds you. He said, no. Jesus Christ himself took my sickness and my disease. The punishment for my peace and well-being has already been laid into Christ. They laid it into him and tore his flesh. And by the stripes that wounded him, I am healed and made whole. Hallelujah. We overcame Satan by what? The blood of the Lamb. Two more things. By the word of our testimony. Your confession matters. Your confession of faith and your confession of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. If you don't learn to speak right, you may lose your victory. Amen. If you repeat the words of the devil, the suggestions he's making, you say it. Say you're no good, you say I'm no good. Say you're going nowhere, say I'm going nowhere. He said, I say you're a poor, wretched sinner. You know you're going to sin again tomorrow. He said, yes, it's true. You won't even overcome that sin. Because you already believe that you are trapped. You must confess the word of God. What did the word of God say? He says, for sin shall have no dominion over me. I believe that. So if sin is showing up in my life, I need to begin to come and say, sin, you will have no dominion over me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, oh, but you know, you're not serving God. But I say, yes, I want to serve God from my heart. I declare, I'm created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I do good works. He said, you're mean. I said, no. His fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I'm kind. Don't be praying and say, God, deliver me from this meanness. Pray and say, I have kindness in me. And I express it. It's in me. Hallelujah. He said, you know, I'm so impatient. No, that's a wrong confession. I am patient. I have patience. I know in the physical I'm impatient. You understand what I mean? But that's physical. What the Bible says is that the fruit of the Spirit is what? Patience. I have to confess it. I say I'm patient. So when that situation shows up, yeah? Begin to confess and say, I'm patient. You know, you're driving and someone has annoyed you. You're about to rake. Just take a little pause and say, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Patience. I have patience. It's better. It's much better than praying that God should give you patience. Because that means he didn't have it. If it's a fruit, it grows from a seed. Isn't it? The seed is in you. If you are born again. Final one is, and they did not love their lives to death. Which means self-denial. Let me stop there. Say, if you are going to give in to every desire of your body and your mind, you will live a wretched Christian life. You need to learn to say no. I know you may not be able to say no to everything, but start saying no to some things. Many times the things that trap you, you could have stopped them long before you reach that point. Amen? That's the victory. Some things that are trapping you now is because you did not prepare for that evil day. You knew it was coming and you stayed there. Amen? Let's go back to the dog story. You knew that the dog would be there. He did nothing. You just went to face it. That's foolishness. Amen? Take action. Say no at the beginning, not at the end. It's more difficult to say no at the end. Let's rise up and pray. The time is gone. Let's rise up and pray. There's victory. Say, I have victory. In the name of Jesus. Victory is mine. Over every spiritual oppression. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Talk to God today. God has spoken to you severally. You know what? I lost count. I lost count about the different things that have been said, but that's for you. Whatever you've heard in your heart is for you. Pray about it. You cannot hear a type of message like this today and just remain the same. Something has changed. As you embrace that word and give yourself completely to it, your life is already being made different. Wherever the Spirit of God has talked to you today is where He wants you to respond. So I want you to respond accordingly in your heart to what God has said. Don't hear to this message and just go back and just continue the same. Make some decisions today. But that's your response to God's word. Make some decisions right now. Then pray to God to help you with those decisions. Remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song as we finish. Hallelujah, you've won the victory. Death could not hold you bound. You are the risen King seated in majesty.